It's New Year's Day. This is the day when we say out with the old and in with the new. And we make our resolutions to make the new year better than the old one. But I wonder, for all of our sincere resolve, for all of our good intentions, for all the resolutions we make, will the new year be any different? Will it actually be any better than this old one? Listen, if you really want a better new year, one of the things you'll have to learn how to do, and this may surprise you, you'll have to learn how to forget.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Did Norm just say something about learning how to forget? I'll have to rewind the tape and listen to that part again. Good day and welcome to this first edition of Compassion Radio for 2015. Norm did mention at the top of the broadcast that today is New Year's Day. We're delighted as we look to make a fresh start. Here's Norm to get us started.
I'd like to take this opportunity to wish you a happy new year, along with my prayer that this will be the beginning of the most wonderful year of your life. Actually, apart from the grace of God, there really aren't many new beginnings for us to celebrate in life. Oh, I know, there are people all over the world who've made New Year's resolutions to take a new lease on life, to turn over a new leaf, to forgive and forget, to let bygones be bygones. The cliches about starting over again are endless. And quite honestly, the failures to fulfill those resolutions are also endless, and I think inevitable. My experience tells me that most people make their resolutions, they struggle valiantly for a few hours or a few days to keep them, and then they fall right back into their destructive old habits for another year until guilt prompts them to make the same resolutions all over again for the next new year. Their problem is not a lack of resolve or of sincerity. Their problem is a lack of power over the past. They are simply powerless to bury the past. Try as they may, they just can't get beyond the grip of guilt and regret and memories and their old patterns of thinking and behaving. So the new beginnings eventually fizzle out under the stifling influence of the past. Interestingly enough, there's something in the history of New Year's Day that illustrates this problem. Maybe you know that our observance of January 1 as New Year's Day has its roots in the mythology of ancient Rome. The name of our first month, January, is derived from the Roman god Janus, who was known and worshipped as the god of beginnings. To be more specific about it, Janus was regarded as the protector of doors, gateways, and entrances of all kinds. So it's not surprising that our calendar should call the first month of the new year January, or the month of Janus, the god of beginnings, the patron of entrances and new ventures. But you know, there's something strange about some of the representations of Janus on the coins and in the artwork of ancient Rome. It's quite common to see this god Janus depicted with two faces, one face on the front of the head and the other face on the back of the head. In other words, Janus was portrayed as a two-faced deity who looked forward to the future and backward into the past simultaneously. Now, isn't that a puzzling way to represent the god of beginnings? Wouldn't you expect a god of beginnings to face only the future? Why this second face staring backwards toward the past? Well, I've read a variety of explanations for this two-faced phenomenon, but you know, I really believe that the best explanation has to do with how these pagan gods originated. The gods of ancient Greece and Rome originated in the imaginations of these ancient peoples. And as a result of this, these gods were idealized projections of the people who imagined them. The famous Oxford University scholar C.M. Bora writes that these gods were vastly stronger and active in many spheres beyond human scope, but ultimately they were of the same kind. So then, whenever we look at such gods as Mars or Apollo or Janus, we're seeing, at least in part, exalted representations of human nature. My point is this. Janus, the god of beginnings, was given two faces and was made to look backward as well as forward because it is in the nature of human beings to do the very same thing. And you know, you and I may have this great desire to walk boldly into a brand new future, and we may resolve and even prepare to do so. But invariably, as we face the future and as we launch our journey of new beginnings, we also tend to look backwards, and we give in to the drag of the past, and we end up sabotaging and aborting our own efforts to reach those marvelous new goals that we'd set for ourselves. That's why New Year's Day so often turns out to be such a dud, as far as the new beginnings are concerned. There's too much residue from the past in it. It's a day that belongs to Janus, the god of beginnings, who can't let go of yesterday. Listen, my friend, I believe that the Bible has a better idea where new beginnings are concerned. You see, the Bible goes beyond the resources of human nature and man-made gods and whatever incentives for change that we might find in New Year's Day with its resolutions. The Bible tells us that the Creator God and the Lord of history is going to deliver us from the past. Listen to the Lord's promise in Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Oh, what powerful words those are. It's important to remind ourselves that those words were spoken to Israel at a time when the past was a tremendous burden to them. In their immediate past, there was the burden of humiliation that accompanied the nation's captivity in Babylon. Because of that experience, these people were down on themselves. They were conscious of their sins and failures. They were pessimistic about having any future other than to remain a race of prisoners by the waters of Babylon. And then, beyond that experience, in the even more distant past, there was the memory celebrated at every Passover of God's rescue of their ancestors from slavery in Egypt. But because of that memory, they were prone to glorify the past as a golden moment that could never be exceeded in the future. But when the Lord God said, "Remember not the former things," He was telling His people that for those who are loved by the living God, the past is as nothing. Neither its failures nor its successes are all that important. What matters supremely is that God is alive and that He's at work and that He's in the process of doing a new thing that would give them a fresh start and a greater tomorrow than anything they could ever achieve or imagine. God is alive. He's at work. Do you see the significance of this for your life? The God of the Bible does not wear two faces like the god Janus does. The God of the Bible meets you where you are, and He says, forget the past. I'm going to do a new thing, a unique thing, a better thing for you than has ever been done before. I'm going to make you a new creation in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to set you on the road to glory and fulfillment that's greater than all of your dreams. You know, that's better, much better, than the content of all our resolutions. And it's greater than our best hopes for this new year. In fact, it's even more wonderful than a new beginning. Why? Because it's the gift of a new life on the first day of a new year. My friend, accept God's gift of a new life. Isn't that what you want? A new life? New power for service? A new vision of what Christ can do through you? A new and lasting happiness? Oh, that's what I want. I read a terrific story not long ago that tells about a woman who came to her minister one day and said, "I don't know what to do. At first, I thought that to be happy, I had to be beautiful. So I read beauty magazines, and I spent an hour every day on my makeup, and I became beautiful, or so my friends told me. But I wasn't happy. So then I decided that to be happy, I had to be rich. So I went into business, and I made a great deal of money. But I worked so hard that my health began to fail. So I decided that happiness lay in good health. So I joined a health club. I gave up smoking. I began running 3 miles every day. And now I'm physically healthy. But you know, I'm still not happy. Well, the woman's minister had a good answer for her. He said, "Look, in the window behind you there is glass, and in the mirror there is glass. The back of the glass in the mirror is covered with a little bit of silver. You can't look through it. You can only see yourself in it. When you seek beauty and wealth and health only for yourself, they act like the silver on the glass of the mirror. They prevent you from seeing others and enable you to see only yourself. The happiness that you seek is not in the mirror, it's passing by your window." Listen, my friend, we do need to see things differently. We need a new angle of vision on our lives. Cosmetic changes won't make lasting happiness. And all of the resolutions in the world won't make our lives better. You see, we've got to get beyond ourselves. We need the window of God's Word to see things properly. We need the transforming love of God in our hearts to make us loving and generous and sensitive to those that He's entrusted to us. So remember, by His grace, the past is dead. There's no need anymore to be paralyzed by your past sins. There's no need to be petrified by past successes. All that counts is the gift of God's new and matchless work in your life through Jesus Christ. Do you trust in Christ? Are you ready for His gift? Believe me, He's ready to make it yours. My friend, Happy New Year. May you glorify the Lord by your life in this new year.
Come and rule, Lord Jesus.
My friend, let's make the new year really new by receiving the new life that Christ has for us. If you want that for your life, pray with me now. Dear Father, thank you for the gift of new beginnings. We praise you for preserving us, for sustaining us, and for endowing us with the gift of life that enables us to experience this new beginning. But Father, even more than that, we praise you for giving us new life through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. As we look forward toward this new year, may we not merely repeat the routines and successes and failures that have marked our past, but may we experience a fresh endowment of your Spirit's power and grow into the fullness of Christ in this new year. Thank you for our listeners. Meet their needs, we pray. And thank you most of all for loving us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Trusting in my
Nearly 35 years of ministry has taught me a lot of valuable lessons about a lot of things, and certainly lessons about the ways of God, the needs of people, and the work of the church in the world. But to tell you the truth, my friend, I've learned more about all of these things since the mid-1990s, when we began to travel to and to interact with the most difficult places on this planet where Christians are suffering for their faith. And we've been able to experience the extraordinary courage and commitment of believers who know what it is to pay a great price for following Jesus Christ. And we see in them a spiritual depth that is almost impossible for us to experience here in the United States and in Canada. You know, our prosperity and our freedom was given to us by God so that we could share God's word and God's good news with those who cannot know of Christ except through our faithfulness. We are honored to have you to be a part of our team.
Norm, Happy New Year.
Hey, same to you, Jimmy.
January 2015. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it, and yet I have to believe it because it's here.
We are so excited about what we're going to be working on in the month of January. But before we dive into that, you were recently fortunate to be on a television program. You were referred to in the program as a spy for hope.
Well, it's a very important phrase for our ministry here at Compassion Radio. When Cher and I made the shift, we heard the call of God to make a shift from what was essentially a devotional program every day to a activist program serving Christ in the most difficult places in the world. A major component of that was the phrase, spies for hope. And what we meant by that was that we felt the call of God to travel to the most difficult and dangerous places in the world. So often are described as God-forsaken places.
Right.
And frankly, Jimmy, to prove otherwise. There are no God-forsaken places.
Exactly.
And so what we were committed to do is to go to those places and discover where the living Christ is at work and how he is at work. The risen Christ is in all of these difficult places. He is building his church everywhere in the world. But in the midst of wars and all kinds of violence and difficulty politically and otherwise, it's very easy for us to look at them and say, oh, that's a God-forsaken place and so forth, and we kind of write those places off.
Mm.
That's not the good thing to do. If you're a believer in Christ and a believer in the resurrection and a believer in the call of God to minister to people who are suffering around the world, one of the interesting things that's developed out of this whole spies for hope thing for us is that we have had the opportunity to identify people who are doing amazing works of ministry and service in these very difficult places. As time has gone on, it's been interesting. I'm thinking right now of Iraq, and specifically the capital, Baghdad, where a number of years ago we heard about this Anglican minister who was leading a congregation of people who were really suffering. I'm referring to the fact that all 11 members of the, we would call them probably a board of trustees or board of directors or a board of elders or whatever, depending on your congregation. All 11 of the board of St. George's Church were murdered. Mm. The entire leadership of that church, with the exception of Andrew White. And our friends over the years have heard about Andrew. He is doing an amazing piece of work. That church is now serving over 4,000 people every week. They do it not only by the proclamation of the gospel, but by doing the gospel, providing hope for those who are suffering and who have a sense of hopelessness, feeding those who are hungry, providing clothes for those who are, in the biblical term, naked, don't have adequate clothing, a medical clinic, a dental clinic, all of that is happening at St. George's Church. Our project there is so important. Most of the Christian population now of Iraq has left. We in America know that we played a part through the war there, actually helping to empty, it was not our intention, but helping to empty that country of its Christian population, because Christians then became targeted. They were not targeted during the Saddam Hussein regime. This is not to pass on a guilt trip. It is to say we now have the opportunity to come to the aid, to indicate that we here in America, brothers and sisters in Christ, know that we have believers who are suffering in Iraq, that we know they're there. That is so important to them to know that, and that we are giving our support to minister to their needs. God bless them. They need all the help they can get. We call the project Keep Hope Alive in Baghdad.
And what a wonderful way our listeners can kick off this brand new year by reaching out in love across the miles, no barriers, in our Keep Hope Alive in Baghdad project. Perhaps a one-time gift to start off the year of $25, $50, $100 or more.
Andrew White needs at least $40,000 a month to support the outreaches that he is carrying on there. Now, you may say, well, that isn't a whole lot compared to the budgets of churches with 4,000 members in America, but you have to remember that the dollar goes a whole lot further over there. Thinking in terms of the $40,000, maybe you could give $40, $400, $4,000. Maybe you could give a whole month. We have had gifts that large. What an amazing gift that would be to support the church, in a sense, one of the homelands of the Christian movement.
In closing, we have to mention this. When you get a free minute or two, I strongly encourage you to check out something very special that we're featuring right now at our website, CompassionRadio.com. When you click there, you'll be in for quite a treat. It's a four-part exclusive video interview featuring our own Dr. Norm Nelson and the Vicar of Baghdad himself, the Reverend Andrew White. This is truly a one-of-a-kind exclusive interview that you simply have got to see. It's edited down into short segments so you can watch when it's convenient for you. Again, click on CompassionRadio.com and you'll see the video content displayed right there on the home landing page. Can't miss it. CompassionRadio.com. Give us a call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Reach us by mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or, of course, by going online at CompassionRadio.com. That toll-free number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Norm Nelson and the entire team, we wish you a safe and happy new year. We'll be back again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.